is WGXC 90.7 from the Hudson Studio in New York. I'm Nancy Marin, your host for the Social Graces Program. The Social Graces Program covers all things pertaining to etiquette, manners, and protocol. Hi, good afternoon. This is Nan Marin. I'm in the studio with Chip Siemens, the new General Manager and Chief Operating Officer at Wyndham Mountain. It's January in New York, and at this time of year, some of us will be gliding down the slopes at one of the local ski mountains. On today's program, we will be talking about ski slope manners. Yes, even on the ski mountain, there are proper manners to make sure everyone has a good time. We are fortunate today to have a special guest, as I introduced a moment ago, Chip Siemens. He knows the ski industry very well. I would like to introduce him and thank him for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Mr. Siemens started out as a ski patroller at Sunday River Mountain in Maine. He moved up the ladder to become the ski patrol director and then went on to be the mountain operation manager and then moved up to general manager at Sunday River. He then moved all the way to the other side of the country and became the general manager at a large ski resort near Lake Tahoe in California. We are fortunate to have Mr. Siemens here in our area with his vast experience in the ski and snow industry. As fate would have it, Mr. Siemens and his wife and two children arrived at Wyndham just as Hurricane Irene came barreling through and Old Man Winter has not shown up yet. But Wyndham Mountain is up and running and making snow. Chip, could you please give us an update on the mountain conditions?
Absolutely, and thanks for having me. It's a good time of year to do that because I know there's lots of questions about what it looks like with all the things that you just described. First of all, we recovered completely from Hurricane Irene, and the mountain was fortunate not to be hit quite as hard as some folks in the town of Wyndham were. And we spent most of the fall fixing that damage and getting ready for winter. And I'm happy to say that we're now fully operational. We have been. We opened on the 11th of December. It's been a little bit challenging as the temperatures have kind of gone up and down over the last month or so, but we continue to make snow whenever it's cold enough, whenever possible. The conditions are actually very good right now, and we've got about half of the mountain open, and we'll continue to expand that as we go forward and any time that we have cold enough temperatures to be blowing snow.
That's great. I wasn't even sure if the mountain was open yet or not. December 11th it opened.
Yes, yeah, we had a good Christmas season. We had a couple of weekends before Christmas, and so we've been able to expand pretty significantly.
That's wonderful. Talking about snowmaking, could you walk us through that, what all that entails?
Sure. Snowmaking is really more of a science than some people think. It's basically we pull our water for snowmaking from the Batavia Kill River, that runs right through Wyndham. Mm-hmm. We pump that water up to the mountain to a reservoir that's just at the base of the mountain, and then we have more pumps that pump the water onto the mountain. There are pipes on every trail around the mountain. We can make snow on 98% of our trails. And next to that, every water pipe is another pipe that carries compressed air. And what makes snow is a combination of compressed air and water that goes into a snow gun on the trails. And so we have control over the air-water ratio, we have control over the amount of water that we pump, and what determines how much snow you can make at any given time is first, obviously, the size of your system, the availability of water, the amount of compressed air that you have available, and then, obviously, temperatures. So we're fortunate at Wyndham to have an excellent size system. We've got pretty much unlimited water from the Batavia Kill. We could never pull enough water for anyone to even notice that we were doing that with the flow that goes through mm-hmm. there. And we've built over the years a system that can cover a good portion of the mountain at any given time. Ideal temps for snowmaking are really in the teens. We pretty much say the lower the temperature, the better. At a certain point, it gets more difficult. If it's well below zero, it's tough to keep guns from freezing and people from freezing, and so we keep an eye on that. But anything below about 25, 26 degrees is optimal for snowmaking. And when we get down below 15, we can pump more water, and it takes less compressed air to make the same amount of snow. So in a year like this, any time that it's even close, we'll turn on the snow guns. At 25 degrees is what we call marginal snowmaking. So you have to put more air into the system to be able to create snow. Mm. And as it gets colder, we're able to make more snow. Technology in snowmaking, like anything else, has improved considerably over the years. And we've invested in that technology in new snow guns, pumps that are more efficient, compressors that are more efficient. This year, we invested in a number of what we call tower guns. And what tower guns do is basically take the water up higher in the air and give it more time before it hits the ground, so that snow crystal has more time to develop and be closer to natural snow. If you think about how long snow has to fall from the ground, we try to replicate that as much as we can.
And do you hire people that already know how to make snow, or do you have to train most of them?
A lot of our snowmakers come back year after year and are very talented and know the system and take a lot of pride in what they do. We hire a few new folks every year and train them. They're folks that love being outdoors and love being in the cold. And they really have an opportunity to create something and see their work. And we hope that they're skiers or snowboarders and get out there to enjoy it like the rest of us and be able to see what they've done.
So after you've made the snow, when you make it yourself, when it's not natural snow, do you still have to groom the trails or...
We do.
Not.
We do. We groom them. We'll leave snow if it's new man-made snow and we make it nice and dry. Again, we can kind of control the how much water is in the snow. And we try to make it as dry as possible. Early on, the snow may be heavier to establish a base. Mm-hmm. But even then, we try to make it dry so that it lasts throughout the year and is able to absorb some of the thaw-freeze cycles that we see here in the Northeast.
And what kind of depth do you like to get it to before you start grooming? And, like, what is the base that you try to achieve?
Well, you know, it's the base, the depth of the snow is really to help us get through the thaws and to last into the spring. We like to say that skiers really only notice the top 6 inches. You know, that's really all that you ski on. And you like to have more than that because it's a more comforting feeling and it's nice to have it out there.
But you mean because if you fall, it's packed down? Or
well, you wouldn't even notice it if you fall if there's not that much. But in general, there's a couple of feet of snow on the ground above the grass when we make snow. And we try to let the snow sit as long as we can before we groom it because the water in the snow will leach out, as we say, or settle to the bottom. And when it does that, the snow that's left is much drier and leaves a much better surface than if you groom it while it's wet. Mm. And if it's groomed while it's still wet, then it's more likely to freeze and become a more firm surface and the potential for what we call ball bearings if we get on it too soon. So we wait as long as we can. We'll often ski a trail that's just had snow made on it, and it's a great fun surface. There's more of kind of whoop-de-doos than there are after grooming. But the longer we can wait, the better the surface is when we do groom it, and the longer it lasts through the year. So we'll try to wait at least 24 hours after we've turned off the snow guns, and then we'll get on it with a cat. And the first time we may leave more rollers just because we don't want to cut into the snow as much, into the piles as much. And as we continue to groom it over a period of time, we'll make it more smooth and more flat going forward. But the groomers themselves also are kind of technologically advanced and have come a long way.
I would think so, because if you didn't really know what you were doing, you could really make a mess of all of that snow you just made.
You really can.
And do those groomers that you have at Ski Wyndham, are they come back every year too, like the snowmaking?
We're very fortunate to have folks who come back, and it's a big advantage to know the trails, and know their way around and know where the kind of the ledges
That's
are
right.
underneath.
Yes.
And also how to operate that equipment. They're very expensive machines. They have a blade in the front that has many adjustments, and there's a tiller in the back that's similar to a farm tractor mm-hmm. that tills the dirt. This will till the snow and then leave what we call a nice corduroy surface at the end. And even what they do, they have to pay very close attention. They're constantly moving the blade up and down and sideways. It has multiple directions it can go. And the tiller in the back, the slower that they operate, the slower they drive the machine, basically, the better surface they're going to leave on the
And top. How do these employees that you have that maintain the slopes, where do they learn that experience?
They learn it right at Windham. We've done most of that training. Some of the groomers have been equipment operators and operated different
okay.
types of equipment.
That would make sense.
And it gives them kind of a head up on it. But a lot of them have been there for many years and have continued to improve over the years.
That'd be pretty nice, though, to be a groomer and you're up there on the mountain at night and it's so quiet and peaceful.
They love it. It's
I
beautiful.
Bet.
It really is. And again, they take a lot of pride in what they do and look at it as an art form.
I also wanted to ask you, how many employees does it take to run the mountain, and tell us how varied the employees are? Because when we don't think about all the other things that go on besides the liftoff operator, the groomer, the people that make snow. That's kind of really all you think about,
mm-hmm.
the person you buy your ticket from. But there's many more aspects of the mountain.
There are a lot of people behind the scenes and a lot of departments. We're in a lot of different businesses in the ski business. We, at the peak of the season, we hire close to 1,000 people at Windham Mountain.
Wow, that's great.
That's between ski instructors, ski patrollers, the operations folks that we've been talking about, lift operators, and then inside we're in a full food and beverage business, everything from fine dining to cafeterias and barbecues outside. We have lodging property, so we have housekeepers and front desk people, reservationists, and then there's a full, obviously, accounting department, marketing and sales. So it's a fun business to be in. We do a little bit of everything.
You must not ever get bored.
No 2 days are the same. And it really attracts people who are there to be there for more than a job, because it's generally a lot of folks have a passion for skiing or snowboarding. And they really want to be there. We're in the business of creating memories for our guests, we like to say, and really making it a great experience. So whether you're directly involved in skiing at the time, or grooming or teaching people to ski, or behind the scenes in cleaning the base lodge, or mm-hmm. Whatever else it might be, it's a special group of people.
And you're, I was just thinking, do you have a ski patrol too?
Yes, we do.
And how many people does that consist of, and what is their primary job being a ski patroller?
Their function is safety. We hope that they're being proactive, and they're the first ones on the mountain in the morning, and they check every trail before they're open to the public. They're looking for anything on the mountain that they might be able to remove or mark as needed. They report on every trail every time they ski it. They're there if someone does get injured, but they are really kind of the friendly advocates on the hill and helping people with where to go, where to find things, and just kind of keeping an eye on things. We have what we call slow skiing zones, so they may pay mm-hmm. attention to folks who are skiing a little faster than they should. But they're, again, a committed group of people. Some of them are paid, and some of them are completely volunteer.
Oh.
We have a large group of people who volunteer, particularly on weekends, who come up on Friday night and are there for 2 days, and they're very committed to what they do.
In the Ski Patrol program?
Ski Patrol program, yes.
Let's see, I was just thinking of something about them. Oh, did you say they get there very early in the morning? Like,
they're generally
there until the end of the day?
They're generally there an hour or so before the lifts open.
Okay.
And they're the last ones down the mountain at the end of the day.
And they're on their skis all day, except for maybe taking a break, right?
They are.
Hmm.
Yep.
That you got to really love the mountain to do that.
And most of them do. They love being out there, and a lot of them are second or third generation patrollers. They help folks, and it's a great way to go. That's how I got involved in the ski business, and that's
yes.
how I learned really the rest of the operations as well, because you kind of see it all from that perspective.
Well, that's a really good thing, though, because you started from the ski patrol and have now moved way up the ladder, but you've had a lot of those jobs within the ski industry that you know what you're talking about now.
Well, it helps a lot. I can't imagine jumping into this position without having some understanding of what goes on.
Yes. But I mean, like even down to being, you were a ski patroller, then you ran the ski patrol up
yes.
at Sunday River, and then you kept moving up. So, you know, all aspects of it, not just
yep.
to be a general manager of a ski slope. You've done a lot of the jobs
yes.
yourself.
Yes.
As a young person.
Yep, and it's there's a lot involved in kind of learning what's involved in the ski business, as well as managing people, and obviously the financial aspects of running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a seasonal business that's very dependent on the weather.
Yes.
And we have our variables.
I was going to ask you, Wyndham is an all-season resort, meaning that you're doing something year-round. Now, in your new position at Wyndham Mountain, does someone else take that over during the summer months, or are you year-round?
No, I'm year-round, as are a group of what we call year-round employees. We go down to less than 100 employees in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the most common question a lot of us get who are year-round is, what do you do in the summer?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of planning, a lot of capital is invested, obviously, in ski areas, and that all of that work needs to be done in the summer, and that buying. And we always say, if you don't work hard in the summer and you don't plan and you're not prepared, you're unlikely to have a successful season, because really you've got to work just as hard in the summer to get ready for that season, because by the time it hits and there's snow on the ground and the crowd is there, if you're not ready, it's not going to happen at that point. So you need to continue to train people. We always have new employees coming in the fall, and then we're finishing projects and doing those kind of things, but there's a lot of important work that goes on in the summer just for the ski season itself. Wyndham is also expanding its offerings in what has formerly been the off-season. We have one season where obviously we know what we do with skiing and snowboarding. We've started to create a number of events in the summer. We've hosted a World Cup mountain bike race for the last couple of
yes.
years, which has been a great event for the local area as well.
It's a huge thing that you have it there.
It is a big deal, and it's some of the best mountain bikers in the world that come to Wyndham, and they love the course, they love the setup. It's a great mountain for that type of event, and it brings people that wouldn't normally come here.
Is that once every year for so many years you have it, and then they move on, or how does that work?
No, we hope to hang on to that. It'll be part of the World Cup tour as long as we're both happy and continue to move
forward. That's wonderful.
It's been a great event.
And when is that, in the June or?
That's in July.
July.
Yep. And the other event that we've done is what's called the Warrior Dash, which is a big weekend and a lot of fun. And you can look on our website to get more information on that. But last year, 25,000 people participated in the Warrior Dash, which is basically an obstacle course that's set up on the mountain. For people of any age to enter and run up and around and down, back down the mountain.
Do they all start at once and the first one down wins, or
no.
How do you do that?
No, it goes in waves, and we'll start a couple hundred people at a time to get through the whole day. And about every 45 minutes, another wave will go through the course. And you can show up and start any time as long as you've registered for the event.
And how many people did you say participate?
25,000 in one day.
So you got to think of what that does for the restaurants, the hotel. I mean, it's just spread out to everyone gets part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
They're coming in the night before. They're bringing friends and family. It's a very fun event.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good group to have around.
So what What news do you have for the coming year, up and coming events? And
well, we'll continue to host both of those events. We'll have news shortly about other events in the summer that we're going to do. We've put in in addition to skiing and riding right at the mountain, and even in the winter, we have a tubing park that you can see from Main Street in Windham.
That is so much fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I have done that. It is so fun.
It's easy to do. It's a lot of fun. No talent required. You show up and sit on a tube and swing away. And we also have kids' snowmobiles at that same location. So they're for very young kids. They're operating their own snowmobile on a little track. It's very safe. There's hay bales around the track, and we've seen
kids. Is that new? Pretty new?
It was new last year.
Okay, I didn't even know about
that. It's up and running now. We make snow for that as well. It's right at the bottom of the tube park, and that's been very popular. At the end of the day or even during the day, a lot of kids will come down there and ride their little snowmobiles around. And then we've put in a zip line, which is from the top of the tube course basically down to the bottom, and you're hooked in a harness and you're on a cable and you basically just zip down that wire. So that will be open year round. Something that we're offering that was open last year. We made some big improvements to it this fall. It's open this weekend and we hope people will check that out. There's also a little skating rink nearby. So the whole, what we call the adventure park, is a lot of fun, even if you don't ski or snowboard.
There's plenty to do.
There's plenty to do.
And the zip line, do you have to climb up like a real tall ladder and then get hooked? How do you do that?
Actually, you start with this one right from the ground because you're going downhill, so you don't even have to climb up a tower.
Oh, I see.
You end up at a tower, and then you get clipped into another zip line and zip right back down to the ground. So it's one of the friendliest zip lines if you want to see what it's like before you go way high and way big. This one's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they'd love to do the zip line, but they don't want to have to get up to the zip line, you know, because they're afraid of heights and stuff like that.
This is a very simple one to start with. So we're going to continue to expand those types of offerings for the summer, as well as offer special events and programs that will be ongoing through the summer. And then we'll start to look at other things that will bring people to the area, whether it's concerts or shows or gatherings. We host a lot of weddings and family reunions and those kind of things. People love to come to the mountain.
If you have a wedding there, do they want to go up to the top of the mountain and then maybe they have their dinner down at the lodge area?
Yes, many times they will. We also have a lodge partway up the mountain. It's a nice spot.
I didn't know that.
Occasions like that you can take a chairlift right to. And it's a lot of fun. It's got a deck outside and fireplaces inside and very friendly.
That's a really unique idea for your wedding.
It is unique, and at any time of year, it's been very fun. Hmm. The other thing that we're looking at in terms of expansion at Windham, we think a lot in the ski business about how to bring new people to the sport, as well as retain people who are already skiers or snowboarders. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is to teach people how to ski so that they'll continue to come back. And those of us who have been in the business for a while and have brought kids up who ski, I really believe that there's no better family sport. So we have a plan to significantly expand our learning terrain at Windham. Actually, a big chunk of what's currently our parking lot as you drive into the mountain will become beginner terrain. We're going to convert that to what will be a grassy slope in the summer and then have snowmaking with a lift next to it, actually what we call a magic carpet, which is basically an escalator on the side of the ski trail that takes you up in a very simple way.
And when will that be completed?
We'll do that as soon as this coming summer, if all goes well. And that'll be a much nicer experience for beginners, much more expanded experience. And again, we hope will attract families to come. And we really believe that if they have a good first experience, they'll continue to come back again and again. Once they've learned to ski or learned to snowboard. So we try to make it as comfortable as we can. Sometimes people are intimidated by the cold or the equipment or what's there, and we can provide all of that and help people feel comfortable with some great instructors and great lessons. And the terrain that you actually learn on is an important part of that.
And you'll start them off on the grass.
Not on the grass, but on a very low pitched snow.
Like even lower than the bunny slope.
Well, it is a bunny slope, but it's basically flat, and then you kind of work your way up.
Okay.
Get comfortable on skis or on a snowboard, and then we'll keep moving you to steeper terrain from there.
And also just learning how to put on your boots and skis.
That's true. Equipment can be unique to people who have never seen it before.
Yes.
It's not very difficult, but it can be different.
Yeah. Okay. I thought just for about 3 or 4 minutes we could go over some slope etiquette.
Sure.
And I thought we would start at the lift line because that you can't get up to the slope unless you're in that lift line. So you have any thoughts on that? I know that I've skied, you know, quite a bit here and there, and some people have really bad mouths right in the line, and there's kids and people that don't want to hear it. So my first thing would be watch your language. That would be nice. And another one would be watch your own skis and poles, because some people have bought very expensive equipment. They haven't rented it, and you're coming up behind them, and you're on the back of their brand new, you know, $1,000 ski.
Yep. No, I think that's a good point. A lot of it is common sense in the line, and we try to set it up so that there isn't jostling for position and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that in general, skiers are a pretty friendly lot.
I think so too.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun if you don't have, if it's a four-person chair, for example, if you don't have four people to hook up with others and get to know them. And
yes.
I found it to be a generally friendly experience in the lift line, but there are some kind of common sense things that people should pay attention to.
I had a question to ask you. What do you think about the people that ski with the earbuds in and their music is blaring and they can't really hear?
Well,
do you think that's a safety issue?
Excuse me. If hearing is important, you know, people make their own choices on what to listen to. If it's so loud that they really can't hear people coming from behind,
yes,
then that can be a problem. There is in skiing what's called your responsibility code, and it's very well known among skiers. It's on every trail map. It's on our website, and it's just basic guidelines to follow, basically, about stopping and looking uphill and not obstructing traffic and those kind of things. So that's a international code that skiers follow.
And your thoughts on the importance of a helmet?
You know, helmets, we encourage the use of helmets at Windham Mountain. And we also encourage people to make sure that they educate themselves. We've seen a significant increase in helmet usage just in the last several years.
Oh, that's great.
We rent helmets in our rental shop, and obviously they're available in the ski shop as well. Most parents have been very willing. It's just part of kids' lives as they grow up. They wear a helmet riding a bicycle, and it's become pretty natural for them to wear it while skiing and snowboarding.
Mm-hmm. And I know that they've come out, you know, each year there's better looking helmets, so maybe more people will now. I know we wear helmets, even as adults.
They're better looking, they're warmer, they're lighter, they're just better all the way around.
I think women in general just wanted them to have a nice look to them, and some that I've seen online are really fashionable.
Absolutely. You can make a real fashion statement with your helmet.
So on the lift, I think that if you don't know the people that you're on the lift with, you should speak to them. So just say hello.
It's a great idea.
To be best friends, but just
be
cordial.
Might be by the end of that lift ride, you might be best friends. Absolutely.
And the bar is always a thing. You know, you may get on and they don't want the bar down, and you do, but you could always ask, do you mind if I put the bar down? And you should always ask, though, instead of just bringing it down on your own, because you could hit someone in the head or on the knee.
It's good to let them know it's coming down.
Yes.
Yep. That's another place helmets come in handy, when that bar comes down.
Well, we have so much more to talk about. I think that it's been a great program, and I really appreciate you being here. Congratulations on your new position at Windham Mountain. And maybe you'd like to come back next time.
I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Chip.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.